Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, friends, welcome to Stand in the Gap Today. This is Dave Kistler along with Sam Rohr and Gary Dahl. And by now, I am sure you are more than aware of what happened yesterday with the revelation by James Comey that the FBI has no change of conclusion with respect to Hillary's emails. We're going to be delving into that in somewhat detail in segment one. And also, friends, we're going to bring to you a voter fraud alert out of the state of Ohio. Despite the fact that Obama and Hillary say there's no evidence to prove that voter fraud is taking place, and certainly that voter fraud is rampant, we have an illustration of voter fraud coming out of Ohio that ought to literally be investigated and investigated quickly. What are we talking about? You're going to find out about that in segment two. And then, friends, we know that Uma Abedin, Anthony Weiner, and at least five foreign governments have had access to the classified information found on Hillary Clinton's unsecured server, but I think you're going to be surprised when we talk about who else has had access. In fact, maybe as much, if not more access than any of the above mentioned entities or names, who has had access to Hillary Clinton's classified information. We're going to be talking about that. And then, friends, in a stunning report, if we have time to get into it today, if we don't today, we'll certainly get into it in the days that follow Election Day tomorrow. The guards that were hired by the State Department to protect U.S. diplomats in Benghazi actually turned on the very Americans they were hired to protect. And as a result, Christopher Stevens and three other heroic Americans died unnecessarily. And friends, this occurred despite internal State Department concerns that the people that were being hired were going to do precisely what they ultimately ended up doing. All of that on today's program as time allows. But let's go to this first piece of information, friends, that literally took America by storm yesterday. And really, to be honest with you, Sam, Gary shocked me a little bit what James Comey did. But he said yesterday that the agency has reviewed all of the Hillary Clinton emails. Listen to this. All of the Hillary Clinton emails recently discovered in an unrelated case. And of course, that case is with respect to what was on Anthony Weiner's computer. And the conclusion to which James Comey has come is that his decision in July not to prosecute Hillary Clinton after their initial investigation, that conclusion still stands. Let me read the statement. Quote, since my letter, the FBI investigative team has been working around the clock to process and review a large number of emails. During that time, we reviewed all of the communications that were to or from Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State. And based on our review, we have not changed our conclusions. Also, gentlemen, the Department of Justice, a spokesperson for that agency, said that both they and the FBI, quote, dedicated all necessary resources to conduct this review expeditiously. Now, Sam, I want to ask you a question. There's something that smells to high heaven, at least from my perspective, with respect to this. It took almost a year for the FBI to investigate somewhere in the neighborhood of 60,000 emails in the first probe that ended in July with Comey not recommending indictment. And yet we have Friday, a week ago, we have 650,000 emails that are discovered on a computer. And Sam, they have gone through 650,000 and they've been able to determine that they didn't contain any information that needed further investigation. And they did that in about 8 days. Sam, help me and help our listening audience understand how that could possibly be accurate.
Dave, I'd say on first blush that I would believe that it's not possible to do a thorough review. Now, I'm not quite sure what did he say. Did he say a thorough review or a review?
I think he said review, Sam. He said we have reviewed, but he said we've reviewed all of the Hillary Clinton emails, all of them, and he repeated that twice.
And I think that is the key, Dave. I think that's the key. To do a review means you look over. To do a thorough analysis means you look into. I don't believe it's possible to look into and compare the notes of that many in that short a time. Now, the other thing that raises a question to me is this. When I hear, as they have stated, that the Department of Justice, as the spokesman said, that they in that entity and the FBI together have done what necessary to do, there is a problem with that because we already know that the Department of Justice has already collaborated with and already violated the process for investigation. They have turned down repeatedly every piece of information that would be prosecutable or to go forward. They have refused to put into place a special investigator, which is what they should have done under the information already presented. So, Dave, there is a problem with this. I do not believe what's been stated. That has been thorough, and it did catch me by surprise as well to hear what Director Comey said.
Gary, let me ask you this. I think what Sam is saying is a great observation that a review of and a review into the emails are two different things, distinctly different. But Gary, as I understand it, what they did, what the FBI did is they built a piece of software that would allow them to take certain key words that might show up in those 650,000 emails that might be an indicator or a red flag that email could contain some classified information or at least some information from Mrs. Clinton to someone else or from someone else to Mrs. Clinton. And so they used a computer program rather than looking in great detail into each of these individual emails, which logistically absolutely would be impossible with 650,000. Gary, what do you know about that, if anything? And then I'd love to have just your thoughts to follow up on what Sam had to say about the thoroughness of this quote-unquote review.
Well, first of all, I think that what Sam had to say about the review is very, very correct. I mean, it's one thing to really dig into something. It's another thing to look over something. And it would appear to me that it would be absolutely impossible to really dig into and evaluate and inspect 650,000 emails in, 9 or 10 days. And as far as putting key words into this program that would identify anything there that was questionable, you know, what key words did they put in? You know, it could very well be that they kept out certain key words that would really reveal what actually were in those emails. I don't know. But I have a lot of questions about the whole process. And in the long run, as we look at what's taken place there in the FBI, number one, I wonder if Director Comey is a bit unstable personally. He's almost been acting like a yo-yo in this situation. And I'm wondering if there's something that mentally even is going on in his own life. The other thing, I would say he is greatly under pressure. Pressure from the Republicans, pressure from the Democrats, pressure from those within the FBI. But the thing that concerns me in the long run is that all of this brings a credibility question in light of the FBI. You know, have they lost their credibility over this? I kind of think that they are in the process of doing so, which concerns me greatly.
Well, Gary, I'm concerned as well. Sam, I agree and concur. An examination of and an examination or a review into the emails, two thoroughly, completely different things. Friends, what has not been resolved yet is the FBI's investigation of the Clinton Foundation. And some are suggesting that because there may be where the Clintons are going to get into real trouble, that the FBI has decided to focus all their attention there. Is that true or not? We're not sure. But friends, when we come back, voter fraud in Ohio, you're not going to want to miss this.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genius Wealth Management, member FINRA and SIPC.
Today, people are living longer than their forebears. Right now, more than 1 million Americans are alive past age 100. That means you need to work toward having financial resources that can give you independence into your golden years. But waiting different investment options may make you feel overwhelmed. You need someone, a trusted friend, who can come alongside and help you keep the complex simple. That's where the Life Financial Group comes in. For nearly 40 years, the Life Financial Group has helped thousands of families, not only here in Pennsylvania, Virginia, but nationwide, become even better financial stewards of God's blessings. Managing your investments may feel challenging, but by using a complete financial stewardship approach, you too can gain confidence and peace of mind that your wealth is protected and that you maintain your financial independence. With morally clean investment options, we can help you reach your goals while honoring your convictions. Call us at the Life Financial Group today at 610-385-4500 or online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
He originally wanted to be a baseball player, but after attending a revival meeting at age 16, his life changed. He has since addressed crowds around the world and was friends with Presidents Truman, Eisenhower, Kennedy, Johnson, Nixon, Ford, Carter, Reagan, Bush, and Clinton. His name, Billy Graham, and he was born this day, November 7th, 1918. Receiving the Congressional Gold Medal in 1996, Billy Graham stated, "As we face a new millennium, I believe America has gone a long way down the wrong road. We must turn around. If ever we needed God's help, it is now."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
I'm Jan Mark Hill, helping you understand the times.
Realistically, you want to read the people. You're going to learn a whole lot more if you understand where that individual comes from, what they've done, and perhaps most importantly, what they want to do.
People continually ask, who is the right candidate? And I say both candidates are flawed people. However, we need to choose one, so how do we make that choice? My advice is simple, since it seems that neither candidate is a stellar choice. I would vote for the party whose platform seems to be the most moral in principle. I would also vote for the party that supports legislation that is in keeping with our Constitution and will support the rights of religious freedom. Don't let the candidates keep you from voting. There is more at stake than just a couple of flawed candidates. Make sure you vote. For more information, listen to our weekend program on this station or anytime at olivetreeviews.org.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
We don't know who this man was, but he is on camera, and I'm sure at some point his identity will be discovered. But this unidentified man to whom I'm referring on Sunday, yesterday, potentially violated Ohio election laws by standing outside a polling station to hand out invitations to an event that touted appearances by Democratic presidential nominee Hillary Clinton and NBA star LeBron James. This gentleman was first spotted by Fox News. He was making contact with dozens of people, according to the report, in the voting line, handing out small pieces of paper with instructions about how to respond, RSVP, for the event at the nearby Cleveland Public Auditorium. And the event with Hillary and LeBron was to take place several hours after this man was spotted handing out these invitations to that event. The bottom line on the flyer evidently said this: printed in-house, paid for by the Ohio Democratic Party. Of course, the Secretary of State for the state of Ohio, a gentleman named John Husted, his office made this statement in response. It is clear that this is extremely questionable, if not illegal, behavior. And of course, Sam, Gary, all of this was taking place in Cuyahoga County. And the Cuyahoga County Board of Elections has been approached about the incident, and the office spokesman there assured the people that questioned them about what had been going on. They assured them that officials are, quote, walking up and down the line to preserve the 10-foot barrier that voters are guaranteed by Ohio law. However, a board spokesman declined to review the video or followed up and see whether the incident was in violation of any laws at all. So, gentlemen, this is the same identical county where in 2012 there were actually more people that voted and there was absolutely no single vote cast in 2012 in Cuyahoga County for Mitt Romney. Gentlemen, do you remember that? So it sounds like we have election fraud rife again in the state of Ohio. Sam, your thoughts?
Well, Cuyahoga County in Ohio is just outside Cleveland, so it really is the Cleveland area.
And, that's correct.
And they have been caught in efforts of that type before, just like Philadelphia has been a problem noted, identified, observed, and yet it continues. So, Dave, it does sound like it. And I think to me, well, unfortunately, this is not the first indication. This just I am adding over on a column on the one side. I just keep checking off the number of indications of the types of fraud, Dave, because there's that one. That's really kind of an intimidation effort, an enticement perhaps to encourage people to vote a certain way by offering them a free ticket or something. I mean,
it's bribery, Sam. It's bribery.
That's exactly what it is. So in some cases, it's intimidation. In some cases, it's an effort to suppress. In some cases, it's an effort to buy, given the cell phones of years ago to people. I mean, this is all evidence of corruption, Dave. It is very much alive. And if we were to take a few minutes on this program and identify the things that we already know, the list, I'm telling you, is very long. This just adds to it.
Well, gentlemen, what this does is goes to the very heart of what Donald Trump has been suggesting, that there is corruption throughout. There is a rigged system, as it were. When you have county officials and election officials not even wanting to view a video where this violation is pictured taking place, then you have some real problems. And of course, Sam, as you well said, that is the suburbs of Cleveland, or it is Cleveland itself. Cuyahoga County is where Cleveland, the city, is located. So we've got some difficulties here. Gary, I want to go to you because this factors into another component. Of course, some of the polling data that has come out over the weekend suggests that nationwide Hillary may have a 1-2% lead over Donald Trump nationally, but some of the battleground states have Trump well within the margin of error. A couple of states, key battleground states, have him up by several percentage points. Others have him basically tied or a point or two behind. What does this kind of activity, Gary, that we're talking about in Ohio, as well as other types of voter fraud that Sam referenced, what does that say about the confidence level of the Democrats, of Hillary Clinton's campaign? I mean, they've come out saying, you know, we're going to win, and, you know, we're confident this, we're confident that. The media has been complicit with them. And yet, Gary, to me, if they're that confident, would they have to pass out invitations and use NBA star LeBron James as the allurement to get people to a Hillary rally? And would they be doing it at a polling place illegally if they're confident they're going to win?
Well, Dave, you talked about a lot of things there that we could really delve into. But first of all, as far as their confidence is concerned, I think that they are afraid that they're going to lose. I heard somebody say this morning that their inside polling shows that they are up a little bit, you know, maybe as far as 5 points, maybe 2 points, whatever the case may be. But I don't think that they are confident that they are going to win. But what really concerns me is this, Dave. Because of the fact that they are not confident that they're going to win, I think that the Democratic Party, I won't go so far as to say that the that Hillary and her her inside group itself will be actively involved with this. They may be. I'm not going to go so far as to say that. That is, her campaign would be behind it. But I think that the Democratic Party, being as corrupt as it is, as we know that it is, it wouldn't surprise me if they would not take every step possible to bring fraud into this election. We know they've done it in the past. We know that they are very capable of doing it. And when you take into consideration that the polls have Hillary and Trump so close together, Dave, they wouldn't have to even do a lot to sway the election toward Hillary. And so I can imagine that all across this nation, and I hate to think this, but I can imagine that all across this nation, even as we are speaking right now, there are people behind closed doors saying, how can we disrupt this poll? How can we disrupt that particular voting area? How can we disrupt this precinct? Because you know, Dave, that there have been cases in the past where if there was just one or two more votes in a precinct, it would make a difference. And so I think that voter fraud is something that the Democrats are trying to actually see come into fruition. Now, let me say this before I finish. Here at the Faith Baptist Church of Altoona, where I'm pastoring, we are setting aside today as a day for prayer and fasting. One of the things, one of the nine things that I'm asking people to pray for is that voter fraud would not occur. We really need to bring this before God's throne of grace, because if voter fraud occurs, and if it occurs on the Democratic side, it's going to take this nation away from a biblical platform, which concerns me greatly.
Sam, let me ask you this, and Gary, I appreciate that admonition. Of course, we are on day 29 of our ministry's 30 days of prayer, and one of the three things we've been encouraging people to pray about is that voter fraud would not influence the outcome of the election. We're praying that those that are elected will be people that will understand their knowledge, their need, rather, of God and His wisdom. And then, of course, we're praying for the third thing, and that is revival in the land. Sam, I want to ask you two things and get your take on it. When this story broke last evening about what was going on yesterday in Cuyahoga County, I sat down and honestly, transparently as I could possibly be, tried to think back of the last time I heard of something like this or anything akin to this taking place on the Republican side. That is an attempt to skew the vote by something that is unethical at the very least, if not illegal at the worst. And Sam, again, I know it takes place. I know people are people on both sides of the aisle, but I could not think of a single time, I just could not find one single time that I could recall vividly where I heard of something like this on the Republican side. Now, Sam, I want you to comment on that, because it seems like most of the fraud attempts occur on the Democratic side of the aisle. And then the second thing I want to ask you about is, have either of you men heard what I heard late last night, that Tim Kaine and his team are canceling all of their rallies because last week at one of his rallies, there were only 30 people that showed up, and they're drawing so few numbers that they've actually, between now and Election Day, canceled all of his rallies, and the only rallies taking place are Hillary's, and she has to have superstars to get people to come out to the rallies. Sam, comment on both of those, if you would, please.
Well, last one first. We did report that goes back last week about Tim Kaine. They were canceling in Florida, which is obviously a big target swing state, but no one was coming to his rally. You're correct. 30, 40, 25 people, there's nobody there. And that's the same thing with about Hillary. On the contrast, though, you see, just yesterday in Hershey, Pennsylvania, 15,000 people packed an arena for Trump. Out in Pennsylvania, in the Moon Township in Pittsburgh area, just the other night, the plane was delayed 2 hours. He didn't come until about 10 o'clock, but there were 10,000 people there with thousands of people lined up outside. Dave, this is also part of the manipulative effort, I believe. I do not believe that these poll numbers can be accurate because they do not measure the momentum on the ground in the interest of people. If there is an excitement, you're going to draw more than 50 people to go hear Tim Kaine, and you're not going to be need like what's going to be in Philadelphia tonight. Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, President Obama, and Michelle Obama, all four of them are going to be there together tonight in Philadelphia. It tells to me, Dave, I believe that there's a desperate nature that's there. Anyways, we've run out of time, so we'll come back on the other side here.
Yeah, Sam, on the other side, I want you to address that question about voter fraud on the GOP side. But friends, listen to what Sam just said. It takes the quartet of Hillary, Bill, Michelle, and Barack to get people to a rally in Philadelphia, the state of Pennsylvania. And friends, when we come back from the break, we're going to be talking a little bit about where that pivotal battleground state of Pennsylvania is with respect to the elections tomorrow. We're also going to be talking about who has had access to top secret information from Hillary Clinton's emails. I think you're going to be surprised. Join us after the break.
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Thomas Paine, The American Crisis, 1776.
News Radio, I'm Pam Puso. Last-ditch promises from the campaign trail.
I'm going to deliver jobs, safety, great education.
Donald Trump in Florida, where a Quinnipiac University poll has him trailing Hillary Clinton by a single point, her lead a bit wider in the final Fox News national poll.
The Election Eve poll shows Clinton has a four-point national lead over Trump, 48-44. Likely voters still have an unfavorable view of both candidates. A majority thinks Clinton and Trump are both dishonest and untrustworthy.
Fox's Rachel Sutherland.
Few races really have the capacity to fundamentally alter history. This is one of those races.
Clinton's running mate Tim Kaine in North Carolina. Closing arguments in Georgia against a father charged with murder for leaving his son in a hot car. Ross Harris maintains it was an accident. Fox News, we report, you decide.
WFYL. From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. I have some great and encouraging news to share with you today for those who support religious liberty and personal privacy. With the end of the legislative session in Harrisburg, Governor Wolf's troubling bathroom bill, which would have opened up public locker rooms, restrooms, and showers to people of the opposite sex who self-identify otherwise, failed to pass and is now dead for the session. This legislation would have also seriously undermined religious freedom. To all who engaged to oppose this dangerous legislation, thank you, and please stay engaged. First, make sure to vote on November 8th and send good people to Washington and Harrisburg, and get ready for battles in the next legislative session. And make sure to use and tell others about our online voter's guide at pafamilyvoter.com. That's pafamilyvoter.com. And you can find out more about us at Pennsylvania Family Institute at pafamily.org.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
At the conclusion of last segment, I asked Sam Rohr a question that he just did not have time to answer. And so, Sam, I'm going to come back to you. Speak a little bit, if you would, about the attempt at voter fraud on the GOP side of the equation, because it appears to me, and again, I really did rack my brain in all honesty, trying to be totally unbiased in my approach last evening to try to remember a time when I heard of the GOP attempting anything like what we regularly hear attempted on the part of the Democrats with respect to voter fraud. Sam, speak to that. Can you recall a time or the last time or any time when the GOP have been accused of being guilty of that?
Dave, not in a national sense. I'd have to go way back into the 1980s in a circumstance in New Jersey that actually has impact to today. When there was an evidence of something on the ground in New Jersey that doesn't even rise nearly to the occasion of the things we're seeing today, but that did go to a matter of a court. And we did talk about its program before, and I'm going to say it again. It did happen. It did go to court. There was a federal court, and it did put limitations on the National Republican Party from doing anything to prevent fraud. Now, understand what I'm saying. It put some limitations on the federal RNC in efforts to limit fraud. The Democrats have had free carte blanche since that time in the early 1980s because of that, and they have actually exploited the protections under the gag order by a federal court judge out of New Jersey. And so what they have done, because they have had a limitation on the Republican side, in reality, they have not only engaged in fraud, they have highly developed fraud. And they have developed it deep and broad, so that it includes fixing of voting machines. It allows for people to vote multiple times, because they hold a hammer over the head on the Republican side. And believe it or not, that court order runs out January 1st of next year. Dave, we covered it on this program. I raise it again. I had to answer that question truthfully. I'd have to go all the way back into 1980. But I'm also saying that is why it seems, not only seems that the Democrat Party knows about fraud, they have highly developed it. And it is known in circles all across this country, and they are operating almost as if the sheriff on the street has been put in jail himself. There's nobody watching, and they believe that they can get away with it. So when you say Trump says that there is a rigged effort in the system, he is saying a whole lot more than he is saying.
Sam, I know Gary's got a question he wants to ask you with respect to this, but I know we had talked about that in the past, but I wanted to get it back out there again because the Democratic Party is so rife with this kind of corruption and these attempts to influence the vote. And I wanted you to be honest because we're not trying to hide anything here. We're not trying to be, you know, supporters of the Republican Party at the expense of truth. That's not what we're doing here at all. We want to communicate the truth. And so I appreciate what you've had to say. Gary, I know you've got a burning question. So go ahead, my friend.
Yeah. And of course, all we need to do once again is to take a look at some of the corruption that is within the Democratic Party across the party, not just as it relates to voter fraud, but in other ways to show that that is really their culture. And then, you know, as it relates to Donald Trump, I've been amazed, Sam and Dave, how he has had some insight in some of these things. You know, we talked about that the other day. Mm. He has made statements that he's not a prophet. He's made statements that people said, well, that's outlandish. But weeks and months later, it came into reality. It's just amazing the insight this man has. But Sam, going to you on this, you've been involved with government. You've been involved with politics for many, many years. One of the things that we have been encouraged to do is that when we go to the polls, we've been encouraged to watch for fraud. Watch for things that could lead to fraud. Watch for things that shows that maybe fraud is actually taking place at the particular voting location where we are. I'm wondering if you can share with our listeners here today what we should do. What is it we should watch for when we go into these voting places that might indicate that some kind of fraud is going on?
Well, Gary, I think there's a couple of things. Number one, that little device that most people carry in their hand called a cell phone with a camera in a video is a very excellent tool. The other that needs to be, because that's the reporter. That's the potential putting it into a good mode. Now, what they need to look for are anything that looks suspicious. For instance, in Philadelphia before, back some years ago in the presidential election, there were the Black Panthers who were standing outside intimidating people from coming in. So look for people who are to intimidate outside. Now, they're not supposed to be there, but they could be there. Put that on film. Send it in. Okay, that's one. Secondly, there were multiple busloads of people in Philadelphia in the past, and this was all presented to Eric Holder in the Department of Justice, and he turned it down, didn't even go forward on it. But there were video, multiple busloads of people voting many different times in many different precincts. All right. Well, if you see a busload of people pull up to a poll, that ought to raise a lot of questions for somebody.
So.
Take a picture of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay. So really,
particularly if it has Hillary's name on the side of it. Huh?
That was Obama at that point. That was for the Obama election. But they won't be so bold as to that. But look for anything that looks strange. When you go in, if you have a voting machine like they had in Texas that actually allows you to, on the machine, see if you're going to vote Republican, as an example, and if you're able to see how it clicks on that machine, as they reported in Texas, they voted Republican and it came up Democrat. All right. That's a George Soros type machine problem, which is another element of fraud. So if you're able to actually track your vote, put your cell phone on or take a picture of it and see what happens. And then you can raise that. Okay, so these kind of things things will be done.
Excellent suggestion, Sam. And let me just say this. The voting machines that we use in North Carolina, particularly at our precinct, have a little kind of like a register receipt on the left-hand side of the voting machine itself. And so when you click on each person for whom you are casting a ballot, you can look to your left. You can see on that little register type receipt if it is recording the person that you wanted to cast your ballot for. If it is not recording that person, then friends, draw attention to that immediately with the election officials there and say that this machine is not registering my vote accurately. And then at that point, they can step in and make sure that it's working. And by the way, in 2012, at our very precinct, we had some irregularities where people were attempting to vote for Mitt Romney, and their vote was being registered on the receipt as being a vote for Barack Obama. So those kind of things can take place, friends. So pay attention. Watch what's going on. Don't just assume that your vote is going to be registered accurately. Check that little register receipt if you're using a voting machine in particular, and then you can let election officials know if there's some irregularity. Guys, we're going to have to shift gears here, and I hate to do it, but I want to do it very, very quickly. We know for a fact that Uma Abedin, Anthony Weiner, and at least five foreign entities have had access to the information on Hillary Clinton's private email server. It came out over the weekend that there is a lady named Maria Santos. She is a housekeeper for Hillary Clinton at her Whitehaven home there in D.C. And it appears, gentlemen, that this Filipino immigrant had access to way more than just Hillary Clinton's furniture to clean, her house to take care of. Evidently, this lady was asked on numerous occasions by Mrs. Clinton to photocopy or to print off top secret information so Hillary could read it. Now, Sam, I want to ask you a question. We have a young military man, who is going to serve time. In fact, he's already serving time in prison for taking a picture of a submarine and showing that picture to some friends. And that picture was considered classified information because of the type of military submarine that was that he took a picture of. He's serving jail time. And yet Hillary exposed her top secret information, classified information via her email system to the world. And now we know that a person with no security clearance whatsoever, a housekeeper, had access to that information. And Sam, the FBI is not going to pursue that. Please help me understand, help our listening audience understand how that could possibly take place.
Dave, the problem is it cannot occur when you have a just system. All of those things that you have explained are what guys like Congressman Javits and others who have been investigating have clearly identified. These are major prosecutable evidences and violations. It is not simply made a wrong choice. That is nonsense. Under law, whether it was intentional or not, a violation of the law, which that would be, is prosecutable. So, Dave, there are two separate levels of law and application being here. And can I submit at this point, while we talk about this issue relative to Hillary Clinton, this is not, in my opinion, Dave, not so much about Hillary Clinton being prosecutable and what's on trial, more or less, and she's not there yet. But what I think is the threat to me, or us, is that justice itself and law itself in our country is what is on trial. And that scares me a whole lot more than a Hillary Clinton getting free and going free. Dave, justice itself is at stake in this election and in this process.
That is
Sam,
good,
I could not
Sam.
Agree with you more. I could not agree with you more, my friend. Mm. It irks me to no end that Hillary Clinton and Bill have gotten by for decades with their corruption, their lies, their deceptions, and some would even say the trail of bodies that followed them from Arkansas all the way to Washington, D.C. It bothers me that they've gotten by with it. I want to see them have to face the music. If a young military man is going to serve jail time for an accidental, unintentional photograph he took of a submarine and Hillary exposed classified U.S. secrets to the world, and she's not going to face any repercussions, that is the height of injustice. And friends, she needs to face the music, and it appears the only way she's ever going to do that is to face it at the ballot box tomorrow. So if you've not voted, go out and vote. And vote for truth and righteousness.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press materials place great value on the knowledge of God and His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press materials are available for grades K to 12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press materials are well-written, grade-level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teachers' editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Live, love, learn, and leave a legacy. These are great words, but if you want to leave a legacy to your children and grandchildren these days, it's going to take some careful planning. And that's where we come in. We're the Life Financial Group, advisors you can trust. We're Christian, families based upon the Bible, so that we can say we truly understand your values. In fact, for nearly 40 years, folks of all ages have counted on us to care for and grow their financial resources. Through prayer, prudent investment, and pleasant, knowledgeable people, we can help you navigate your investments so you feel secure. We're glad to offer morally clean investment options that won't sear your conscience or make you anxious. We're also comfortable talking about increasing the impact of your charitable giving. How do we make a difference? So learn how you can have peace of mind by calling us today at 610-385-4500. That's 610-385-4500. Or online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genius Wealth Management, member FINRA and SIPC.
Katie McGinty says she's one of us, but look at her record.
McGinty became a millionaire on corporate boards after sending them our tax dollars. That's why she's known as Shady Katie.
McGinty's companies outsource jobs to China and Mexico instead of creating them in Pennsylvania.
There's more. In Washington, Katie McGinty was a registered lobbyist, and she wants to raise middle-class taxes.
McGinty has supported higher income taxes, sales taxes, and energy taxes, more than $3,000 per middle-class household.
Katie McGinty, a millionaire lobbyist who wants to raise our taxes.
She's not for us.
Pat Toomey is different. Even leading Democrats have called Toomey a man of uncommon decency and praised his seriousness, intellect, and civility.
Pat Toomey, for our jobs, our security, and common sense government.
I'm Pat Toomey, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Friends of Pat Toomey.
Please join us for the free Veterans Expo and Job Fair, November 15th from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Spooky Nook Sports, Mannheim. The Veterans Expo connects active and retired military members and their families with benefits and resources. The job fair allows veterans and employers to discuss available positions. For more information, visit veteransexpo.com. More than 100 exhibitors and sponsors include Blue Ridge Communications, Disabled American Veterans, Fulton Financial Corporation, LCTV, Pennsylvania American Legion, Pennsylvania National Guard Outreach Office, Pennsylvania State Headquarters VFW, PHEAA, Triangle Refrigeration, HVAC, Plumbing, and Energy Management, the Sigma Network, WHTM ABC 27, Worley & Obits Incorporated, and WFYL. For more information, visit veteransexpo.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
American Pastors Network and certainly the Stand in the Gap radio broadcast are all about truth, the communication of truth, the living of truth, the encouragement on our part for you to conduct your life as we attempt to conduct our lives according to the truth of God's word. Friends, that's why we have repeatedly encouraged you in the last number of weeks, yea, even months, to vote as biblically as you possibly can. And friends, this time, if you look at the party platforms on which each of these respective candidates stand, you will find that one platform is as anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-Constitution, anti-American as it can possibly be. And friends, I have no problem telling you that is the Democratic Party platform. The other platform on the GOP side is as pro-God, pro-life, pro-marriage, pro-Israel, pro-American, pro-Constitution as any platform in the history of the GOP. Friends, if you have not yet read those platforms and you're considering going out and voting tomorrow, in fact, I hope you're doing more than considering. I hope you are committed to go and voting. But if you've not yet read the platform and you're going to go out and vote tomorrow, friends, read the platforms. Look at them. The GOP platform this side is as biblical, not just conservative, biblical as it could possibly be. And so we're encouraging you to vote and vote as biblically as you can. Gary, I want to go to you because I know you have been talking to your folks and you have come up with a checklist of items why you and why really anyone should not, cannot vote for Hillary Clinton. Gary, share those with our listening audience if you would.
Well, like I say to my people, I'm not going to tell you who to vote for, but this is where Hillary Clinton stands. And actually, there are 10 things. And by the way, I'm not going to be able to elaborate upon these. And if anybody would like to have a copy of these, you can contact me at gary@pastors.net, and I'd be happy to send them to you. That's gary@pastors.net. But think about these just briefly. Number one, why should we not vote for her? Number one, she is unfit. And I mean that because there are many questions about her physical, medical condition, as well as the kind of deportment that she has. I mean, talking about character, I think that she's unfit for it. Secondly, she is unqualified. Why do I say that? Because she is currently under criminal, or pretty close to being under criminal investigation. She has violated national security. Would we want somebody in the White House who's violated national security and may come under criminal investigation once she's in there? Not hardly. Number three, she is unconstitutional. And I say that because remember when she was asked what kind of justices that she would like to have on the Supreme Court, she talked about a court that would reflect the American people. Actually, a constitutional court is that which reflects the Constitution. She does not support strongly some of the amendments within our Constitution. She's unconstitutional. Fourthly, she's unbiblical. And I say that because of the fact that she is a supporter of partial birth abortion. She is in favor of transgender and same-sex marriages. Very unbiblical. Number five, I think she's unconcerned. Unconcerned about people. We see that in the way she handled the Benghazi situation and then had the audacity to come along and say, well, what difference at this point does it make? Only somebody who's unconcerned about people would say something like that. Number six, she's un-American. And I say that because of the fact that she believes in open borders. She has such a intimate connection with Islam, with, in various ways, to the point that, you know, she really concerns me, and I believe that Islam is one of the, if it's probably the number one enemy of America today, in my opinion. Number seven, I think she's unloved. Many Democrats really don't like her, and I won't elaborate upon that too much. Number eight, she is unlawful. Look at the way she is used these emails and had that server in her bathroom or closet or wherever it was. And that's just the top of the iceberg concerning how unlawful she is. Number nine, she's untruthful. She lies and then she lies and then she lies and lies and lies and lies and lies and says that she tries to tell the truth. Well, she's a liar, untruthful. And then number 10, she's unappreciative. And I could give many illustrations of that, but we know what some of the Secret Service people who protected her when she was in the White House, how they have talked about the fact that she just did not appreciate them or other people, even people who were trying to help her out. She's a very unappreciative person. These are just 10 things as to why Hillary is not equipped for the White House. I'm not going to tell you who to vote for, but I'm going to tell you not to vote for Hillary Clinton.
Gary, outstanding 10 items. And may I say this, she was not just unappreciative of the Secret Service detail that guarded her. She had disdain for them. And a friend, again, friends, I want to encourage you to pick up the great book by Ronald Kessler. The book title is In the President's Secret Service. That's the main title, subtitle, Behind the Scenes with the Agents in the Line of Fire and the Presidents They Protect. It's an outstanding expose into every president from Dwight D. Eisenhower all the way up into the first 2 years of Obama's first term. And of course, Hillary Clinton and Bill are in there. And the chapter that deals with them is an absolute revelation into the character or lack thereof of Mrs. Hillary Clinton. We have concluded all of our programs over the last number of weeks, and we're going to do it again today, and we'll do it again tomorrow. We're concluding them with prayer. We are just over 30 hours away from the polls closing on the East Coast of the United States. And so by 30 hours from now, friends, we will have at least some initial indication of where things are going to go, who's going to be our next leader. And so we have 30 hours to bombard heaven's throne with our petitions and prayers that God will have mercy on our country. And Sam, I want to ask you if you would take us to the throne of grace today for the next to the last time before we go to the polls for this most pivotal election in U.S. history.
Dave, glad to do so. Dear Heavenly Father, we are thankful to be in your presence right now. Where two or more are gathered together, you are there. And Lord, there are thousands gathered together right now on this call, listening to the radio across the country. We appeal to you, Father, the great judge of the universe, the creator God, the sovereign God who raises up nations and puts them down, that raises up leaders and puts them down. We appeal to you, God, for mercy on our nation. Lord, as a nation, as a land, we have walked away from you. We have despised the God who you, Lord, who have brought us into existence. We have walked away in an ungrateful attitude for the blessings that you have placed upon us and given before us. And Lord, as God's people, I believe, Lord, that we are guilty of idolatry by trusting in the things that you have blessed us with rather than in the person you, Lord, who gave it to us. We stand in need as a nation, in great need, O Lord. The opportunity of election, many countries do not have. May God's people understand that those who went before us laid down biblical principles to give us a nation, a free republic, by which the people can have input into those who serve over us. May we not walk away from that, Lord, and be derelict in our duties. We call upon God's people right now, motivate in their hearts, Lord, to do what they can do, and then we put it in your hands. We trust in you, Lord, then, for your will to be done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much, Sam. And friends, when you join us tomorrow, 23 hours from now, we will be 7 hours away from the polls closing on the East Coast, 7 hours during which we will be praying, but you need to go out and do your constitutional and biblical duty and vote. Join us again tomorrow for more Stand in the Gap today.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.
Live from beautiful West Norriton Township. This is AM 1180. AM 1180. W.